Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do the following pairs have in common with the other ones? Andy Griffith and Don Knotts. Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon. Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Zach Parise and Ryan Souter. Think about what these pairs are like. How do they relate to the other ones? Did you figure it out? All these are famous and beloved pairs who complement each other very well. Each person in the pairing brings something different to the table that the other one doesn't. For example, Luther could be fiery and blunt, while Melanchthon could be calm and elegant. Snoopy has everything going for him, while Charlie Brown has the worst luck. Zach Parise is an exciting offensive star, while Ryan Souter is a beast on the blue line. All of these pairs complement each other very well with their differences, and we enjoy them as pairs. The evangelist Luke, he also loves pairs too, just like we do, for he uses over 20 pairs in his gospel. He presents to us people like Zechariah and Mary, the two criminals on the cross, the sisters Mary and Martha. In the parables, he loves to use pairs as well. We see people like the rich man and Lazarus, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the widow and the unjust judge. Luke loves pairs. He uses pairs to help teach and to illustrate his points through their differences. He uses pairs to help us see who we are in the story and to invite us in to reflect how we would act in their place. So this morning, Luke and I, we invite you to figure out, who are you in this text? Are you a Samaritan? Are you an Israelite? Are you both? Are you neither? Let's find out. Luke records that as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, that he passes between Samaria and Galilee. And as he enters a village, he is met by 10 lepers, and they stand at a distance. Now, according to Leviticus 13, people with leprosy and other infectious skin diseases had to stay outside of the camp and outside of the community to avoid spreading what they had. People with these diseases couldn't live with their family or be with them, and they had to keep their distance from everyone. They weren't allowed into any towns or cities. And these diseases had spiritual implications as well, because they would be considered unclean. They couldn't go to the temple, or they couldn't go to synagogue. These people would be isolated and alienated from all aspects of life. It was a tough fate. A present-day example would be a person in quarantine. In college, I had a friend who somehow caught swine flu, and as a result, he had to be quarantined in an unused wing of a dorm. He was all by himself and not allowed to leave until he got better. And I remembered going to see him, and so we were trying to talk through a screen in a window just to see how is he doing and if we can get him anything. But he was a temporary outcast from our campus society. And that is what these men were. They were outcasts. So the lepers keep their distance, and they yell out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They yell so that Christ can hear them, and so that they don't get too close. But their cry for mercy is interestingly reflected in our worship service with the Kyrie. For in the Kyrie, we say, "Lord, have mercy," and we based our requests on his mercy, just like the lepers do. They are banking on his mercy that Jesus will do something. And he does. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Jesus has them do this for them to be reinstated and welcomed back into society. They had to be deemed clean and infection-free from the priests. They also had to offer some sacrifices as well. So Jesus honors the Old Testament law as he heals these lepers. But boy, do these people show a great deal of faith. For when Jesus gives them these instructions, they aren't healed yet. So imagine how difficult that must be to start walking to the temple to tell the priest, "I'm clean, I'm all better," while your skin is still infected with leprosy. That takes some faith to start walking. But as the 10 lepers are on their way, they become cleansed. And when one of them realizes it, he decides to turn around and to thank Jesus. And he comes back praising God with a loud voice. And he falls at the feet of Jesus and he thanks him. But this man was a Samaritan. Cue the shock music. It's a surprise and shock that the foreign Samaritan comes back and not the 9 native Israelites. For the Israelites were God's special covenant people. God saved them time and time again and gave them many wonderful and awesome promises. Surely those 9 would come back and not this Samaritan. His race was looked down upon by the Jews because they were of impure blood and followed a corrupted form of Judaism instead. But yet it is that guy who comes back and says thanks. Jesus is grateful that he does, but you can sense he's a little frustrated and disappointed because he asks, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And in a sense, you can't blame him for being upset, for we too get upset when we do something nice for someone, like give them a gift or buy them dinner. When they don't say thank you, we can be a little miffed. We can be a little upset. All we want is a simple thank you. But Jesus tells this thankful foreigner, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And with that, Luke abruptly ends our text. And this is another feature that Luke loves to use. He loves to give us cliffhanger endings. He loves to leave us with questions. We may wonder, what happens to the other 9? What happens to the Samaritan? Ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens to them. What matters is what you do. Who are you in the story? Luke uses these lepers to invite us in and to let us see what we would do in their situation. So, are you an Israelite? The Israelites were God's people. They knew what God had done for them in their history. He fed and led them in the desert. He saved them from their enemies. He brought them into a great land. He brought them back out of exile. In the same way, we are God's people through faith. We know and realize the actions that he has done for us. And we see that in Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. When we confess the creed, we confess that God has made me and all creatures. We confess that he has given us house and home, food and drink, land, animals, and all that we have, and that he still takes care of us. We confess that he defends and protects us from all harm and danger. And for this, it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. In light of all that he does, do we thank him for these things? Have we ever thanked him for these things? Do we thank him daily, if at all? Are we more thankful or are we more ungrateful? Are you an Israelite? Or are you a Samaritan? Are you one who graciously receives what God gives you? Are you like the Samaritan who sings God's praises for what he has done for you and what he is still doing for you? Do you continually thank him and happily receive what he provides, whether it is enough or not enough? Are you a Samaritan? Who are you in the story? The answer is both. We are like the Israelites. We're not always thankful about what God gives us, nor do we always appreciate or realize it. But we are also like the Samaritan, for what Jesus says to the Samaritan, he also says to you and to me, he says, your faith has made you well. However, a better and more literal translation would be this, your faith has saved you. He says that to the Samaritan and he tells it to you and to me. Our faith won't always make us well, but it will always save us. And this translation reflects a more scriptural understanding of what Jesus says here. Faith saves and it is his gift that he creates in us through the Holy Spirit. Faith does save because it receives what God gives us through Christ's death and resurrection, his peace, grace, forgiveness, and salvation. For his grace covers all of our acts of ungratefulness. It covers all of our acts of doubting, coveting, and worry. It covers any other sin that we might commit. Faith simply receives. And as sinners, we don't deserve this mercy and kindness of God, but God is good and gracious, and he gives it to us, although we don't deserve it. And what is more, he continues to provide for us both spiritually and physically, even though we don't deserve it. With this in mind, how can we not be thankful for such an amazing and loving God who always gives us what we don't deserve? As humans, we love pairs. We love how pairs complement and enhance each other, although the people are different, like Snoopy and Charlie Brown, Luther and Melanchthoner, Parisi and Sutter. We love pairs, and so does Luke. He loves that pairs allow us to see who we really are, and because they invite us into the story. So who are you? You are an Israelite, but you're also a Samaritan to whom Christ says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you."